Morning, everyone. May the Lord bless us through the reading of his word. Today's passage is from Romans 15, and we're starting at verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs may be confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over all the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Great to have you here. If you made it in the chapel or watching at home, thank you so much for giving us your time. And as a leadership, we've been planning our term. We've got these new term cards, as you can see. There was a spare Sunday, and I was down to preach, and been praying about what to speak on. And then just felt drawn really to this one verse from Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Often we do whole chapters. We love working through books of the Bible, studying topics. But this is just a single verse sermon, okay? Romans 15, verse 7. Well worth pulling up a Bible if you've got one and having a little look at it. And here it is in the NIV, the New International Version. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. But actually on the screen, we've got it on the English Standard Version, which I think is actually a better version for this verse. Therefore, welcome one another, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And the reason I say that is because the word that is translated in one version, accept, this version, welcome, literally it's take towards, which is a very, very active word. It's not just something that you do kind of passively. You move towards someone. They move towards you. You welcome them. So, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We're going to see three things from this one verse and try and apply it as we go. Here's our first lesson. In the gospel, Christ welcomes us. In the gospel, Christ welcomes us. Now, hopefully that's not that new if you've been to Highfield before. If you haven't been to Highfield before, this is new to you, then let me explain. This is great, great news. It's going to be a challenging word. We're going to think about welcome and the kind of church that we are. But before we hear the challenge, we need the encouragement. And often we get that in the Bible. We get a kind of a really challenging thing that we feel God is speaking to us and telling us to do this. But before do this, you need to receive something. And you need here, well, in our passage, have a look on the screen. It says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. So that's our first point. It's the kind of foundation, the grounds of anything that we're asked to do. Christ has welcomed you in the gospel. Now, that is surprising if you were to read Romans 1 to 3, because you read Romans chapters 1 to 3, and you would read every reason why Christ would not welcome us. Because we're really, we may think we're pretty nice and pretty good and pretty upright, polite kind of people. Whether you're from a religious background today or you're not from a religious background today, the readers of Romans were a bit of a mixture. The Jewish religious background, the Gentile non-religious background. Paul labours the point that every single one of us is outside of relationship with God. And there's nothing in us intrinsically would make Christ want to welcome us in of our own selves, as it were. None of us can earn spiritually a welcome from Christ. You know, Christ says to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And we instead love ourselves with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Jesus says, when you pray, but actually he may as well have said, if you pray, the amount of time we spend on our knees. We're just the very independent kinds of people. There's every reason why Christ would not welcome us. Every reason. And yet in the gospel he does. Friends, in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ, Christ welcomes us. He welcomes you. And Romans 4-8 makes this crystal clear. We don't have time to read it. But the fact is that if Jesus Christ was picking a team based on spiritual merit, none of us would qualify. None of us would make the grade. None of us would make the team into the family. And yet that is not how he draws people into relationship with himself. He offers himself, dying on the cross, in place of all who turn and trust in him, and then rising again and offering an invitation. Come, receive the welcome of a loving father. And another Bible passage in Hebrews chapter 2, brilliant passage where the Lord says he is not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters. You or you or me. He's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. Oh, I don't want to be seen with you. No, he wants to be seen with us. How cool is that? This is Jesus. He wants to be seen with you. Which means whoever you are today, whatever you've done, whatever your background, if you've repented and believed, which is the Bible way of saying you've turned away from living for yourself and turned towards Jesus and said, sorry for what I've done, how I've lived, what I've thought, please forgive me, please welcome me back. If you've done it, you can join God's family. It's an amazing welcome. Spiritually speaking, you might feel like Forky from Toy Story 4. I don't know if you enjoyed Toy Story 4, any of you who watch it. I know it's a children's movie. It's a great film for adults as well. And he's a profound character, Forky. This little kid, or this little fork. It's a spork, actually, a disposable spoon slash fork, who quite movingly, actually, at the start of the movie, every time he sees the rubbish bin, he trots off and dives into the bin. He's like, I'm rubbish. I'm useless. There's nothing I can do to contribute to the family. I'm pointless. And spiritually, you may feel a bit like Sporky. I've got nothing to do, nothing to contribute. Can't stand up and speak. Very terrified when my friends ask me questions. Fail, fail, fail. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Just as Woody and Buzz welcome Forky into the family, well, so Christ in the gospel welcomes us. That's the first lesson from Romans 15. Point one, in the gospel, Christ welcomes us. But point two is coming hot on its heels, which is, so, therefore, in gospel churches, we should welcome each other. It's not rocket science. It's basic. It's just on the plain reading of the Bible. But let's just kind of push into that, because this is, if we got this right, my goodness me, this would turn everything around. It would turn you around. It would turn me around. It would turn the church life, our community around. So here's the guts of the verse. Therefore, welcome one another, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, it's really clear to remember this is grounded on the gospel. This is grounded on what Christ has done for us in the first place. Okay. And the kind of welcome that Paul is urging his readers to do, to enact to other people, is to be modelled and patterned on the welcome that Christ has had for us. That's how the logic works. Just as Christ has done it, so we are to do it too. So let's think, how does Christ welcome? He doesn't offer an arm's length welcome. Now, you can come in, but not too close into the family. That's not his way. He doesn't offer a only if you've earned it welcome. You can come in, but it's obvious that I'm really only interested in those who have kind of value added, who can bring something to the party. No. Christ also doesn't offer a kind of continue life as you were welcome, where, yeah, basically, you can call yourself a Christian, flick on a Christian hat, Christian hoodie, yeah, I follow Jesus, but really, I just look exactly the same as I always did. I've been welcomed in, but I'm business as usual. No. That's not the way he welcomes. I want to, you know, keeping thinking things the same way as I always did pre-Jesus to post-Jesus. Or thinking or saying things the way I did pre-Jesus to post-Jesus. Or using the money. Or using the money I've got in the same way as I did pre-Jesus to post-Jesus. Sleeping with whoever I want to. Just as I did pre-Jesus, post-Jesus. No, I'm afraid that's not quite how Christ's welcome works. He welcomes us as we are, yes, but it's a radical, revolutionary, turn you on your head, actually turn you right way round welcome, where we live the way we were made to live in relationship with him. So that's how we were welcomed by Christ, and so too we should welcome each other that way. Now, we have a church vision here at Highfields Church. We long to spread a passion for Jesus. That's our big kind of priority here at Highfields, not a passion for Highfields, a passion for Jesus. And we do that by worshipping our God when we're together and apart, by sharing our lives, by equipping his people to live for him each day, and by engaging his world, seeking to share the gospel to a world in need. That's the kind of high-level vision, and one of those key points is that we want to share our lives. And really, that's another way of saying we should welcome each other. Now, as I've been preparing for our message this morning, I've been thinking, honestly, these last 18 months of pandemic have made this really hard in church life. Just think about that. Really, really hard. Before the development of the vaccine, health professionals spoke of NPIs that we'd need to rely on to use to combat COVID. And NPIs are non-pharmaceutical interventions. You may have read about them in the paper, and they have become the norm within society in the last 18 months. Things like mask wearing, or social distancing, or staying back in our homes for long periods of time, working from home, staycations, etc. And for many people, quote-unquote, online worship when the churches were closed and we were told, no, you mustn't gather week by week. And yes, those NPIs, I think, surely have helped slow the spread of infection, certainly in the early stage of this pandemic. And yeah, as I've thought about those NPIs, I think unwittingly, the shadow side of that, it's made gospel welcoming, quote unquote, which is the theme really of our message today, I think it's made it much, much harder. Much harder. So take, for example, masks, where half of our faces are covered. I don't get to reveal the whole of me, the warts and all me, you just get to see part of me. Now, of course, actually, we didn't need COVID to come to church wearing a mask, yeah, because let's face it, we've all known the temptation to wear a metaphorical mask when we come to church, you know, all our lives. If even we've been Christians for a long time, we want to flick on the mask and oh my goodness me, we just think, yeah, I'm fine. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. And then we kind of wander off in our fine ways back to the kind of mess when we've left the presence, the invasive presence of someone else. So I'm not blaming COVID for masks. We've worn them all our lives. Well, then there's social distancing, which, you know, is a phrase we've all come, you know, one of the most popular phrases of the last 18 months. What a horrible phrase social distancing is. You know, we're a community. God has made us communities. But the idea of social distancing, keeping arm's length or 2 meters length, ideally for the best part of 18 months, away from someone else, another human being who's not just a human being, they may be a vector of infection, the equivalent to a flying bullet that might knock me out. Or maybe I'm that flying bullet and might knock them out. And so we're walking down the street, we're encouraged to step aside to give a wide berth. I even saw a poster that said, don't look people in the eye when you pass them. As if like, look away, there's an enemy. Seriously. Yeah, that, and we've been kind of conditioned to think that way. You know, now again, you think, well, in some respects, you know, oh, you stay at home, online church, it's better to stop the spread of infection and don't let anyone to come into your home. That's very dangerous. Refreshments, they get binned. We used to serve, those of you who've been to Highfields before the last 18 months, after service, we'd serve tea, coffee, biscuits down in the Pierce Hall area. But yeah, we've kind of pulled back on that for a season. Hopefully that'll be back again before too long. And at the one hand, again, of course, you know, these were needed and are needed events and activities that reduce asymptomatic transmission. If I don't know that I've got something, then I am going to kind of err on the side of caution. Yes, but let's be honest. I'll put my hands up. Let me be honest. 18 months on, when a habit has been formed, it can be very hard to break the habit when we've moved on in the pandemic, and when, I guess, 90%+ have been double vaxxed, we're in a kind of different stage. They say it takes, what, 28 days to form a habit? And we've had, like, 20 times 28 days of habit forming. And actually, well, let me, again, let you into another secret. I think COVID church, which is kind of what we've been experiencing for the last, you know, year and a half, actually, it's pretty easy to do COVID church, if we're honest. We may not like it, but if we're really honest, you know, it's quite nice to be able to kind of hide behind a mask, not really share too much of me, not have to listen to too much of you. You know, I don't have to let anyone into my life or my home. Don't expect anyone to return the favour. I don't need to be especially real or especially vulnerable. I don't certainly need to kind of stress over having to talk to awkward people in church. I think, oh, I don't want to have to talk to you, and now I can get away with it because no one can talk to anyone. We'll just go to church, you know, get our kind of spiritual fill like we're going to the service station, plug it in, 45 minutes, and out we go. And then go back to our castle and pull up the drawbridge and safe back where we live. Or if I may be so bold, even flick online. And you know, we can kind of engage in online worship anywhere in the world, the greatest famous churches we can engage in, and we can choose what the favourite style of worship may be, or the great preacher that we want to hear, or the great children's work, or whatever it may be. And you know, it can be exactly as we like it. If the music's too loud, we can turn it up. If it's too long, we can pause it. If we want to have a break, we can. And it's
very easy to find better churches than Highfields Church online. You'll find them very quickly.
Now, of course, there have been positive sides to all of this, and I think, you know, being able to stream services and have people engage who previously have never come to church is a great thing. We can share a link to people on our road, the WhatsApp groups, etc. Fantastic. But COVID church, I would argue, is far, far less than the vision, the beautiful vision of church that God has designed church to be. Far less. And we've maybe got 18 months of unlearning to learn. Yes, we do need to wear masks for the foreseeable. And yes, we've grown accustomed to social distancing, but we've got to remember that in gospel churches, we should welcome each other. Not see another human being as an enemy, but someone to reach out to and love. What does it mean in practice? A few things that I've been reflecting on. I think it means making church a place of refuge rather than a place of performance. That's what I think being a welcoming church. It means we should be a place of refuge, not a place of performance. I was listening to a podcast the other day by a couple of pastors, Sam Aubrey and Ray Ortland. It's called You're Not Crazy. It's a brilliant podcast, and it's particularly for pastors, but anyone involved in kind of ministry or Bible studies, well worth listening to that. And in the podcast, Sam Aubrey tells a story of a woman in his church. And he hadn't seen the woman for about 3 or 4 weeks. And so he's like, I'm really concerned about this woman in my church. And so he eventually made contact with her and said, oh, what's going on? How's it going? And life's been really hard. Bit of a kind of mess at the moment. Really struggling. And so I need to desperately sort myself out and then I can get back to church. And Sam said, that is completely the wrong way round, isn't it? It's just like, I need to sort myself out before I come to church. Like, now, I'm not criticizing, like, that's, I'm sure, how lots of us feel, but my goodness me, church should be the place we rush to when we need to sort ourselves out, not the place we come to post, you know, we sort ourselves out, now I'm ready to present myself. No, it's supposed to be a place of refuge, not a place of performance. We come when we're struggling and need fixing, not when we're whole and want to impress. Here's the German author, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote a fantastic book called Life Together. Let me quote him. We Christians dare not be sinners. None of us wants to admit we're helpless. It's like we're patients in the waiting room, but no one wants to admit while we're there. Have you had that experience? You go to the doctors, the GP, and you're sitting there, and, again, pre-COVID, but you're packed waiting room, you're there, and they're there, and you're like, oh, hello, like, why are you here? And, oh, no, it's just like the magazines, just having a little read. You know, no one wants to admit, you know, why they're there. This is Bonhoeffer. We're the same. This pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner, so everyone must conceal his sin from himself and the fellowship. Wow. I want to admit, you know, as pastor of Highfields, I'm really sorry if we have given an impression that at Highfields, you need to be sorted before you can come. We want to be a place where the unsorted come, the broken come, the hurting come for refuge rather than for performance. What else does being a welcoming church mean? I wonder whether gospel welcoming means embracing the messiness of life rather than frowning on it. Embracing the messiness of life rather than frowning on it. Loads of images of church in the Bible.
And I think one of the most popular images of the church is a family, or the household of God. So there's lots of language of brothers and sisters, parents and children, etc. And it's possible to think of going into a family or into a home a bit like the way you go into an IKEA show home. And everything is perfect. And it's pristine. And everything is set up in right angles. And it's organised and it looks lovely. And you feel totally intimidated and terrified. You'll step out of line and knock over a succulent plant. And it's equally possible to go to a home where actually it's far from an IKEA show home and things aren't at right angle. There's mess and there's a bit of paint peeling off the wall. And I know the church, the home I feel more at home in and safer to maybe make a mistake in. Friends, real church is messy, or it's to be messy, because human beings are messy. And when I open my life, and when you open your life, it's going to get messy. And it needs to be that way in gospel churches where we should welcome each other. Again, think about how this plays out. I'm sure one of the biggest sources of mess, if I'm honest, I can say this, is children. And the little people in our lives. And, you know, children make huge mess. And yet they're such a blessing and a joy. Just illustratively, this is, again, a friend of mine I saw shared this. It's a card that they have in all the seats of their church. And let me read out. You won't be able to read it there. Let me read it to you now. To parents of young children, may we suggest, God gave children the vibrant energy that sometimes causes them to wiggle and make noise. They belong right here with God's people where you have so faithfully brought them. Stick with it. Feel free to sit towards the front where it's easier for your little ones to see and hear what's going on. They tire of seeing the backs of other heads. Quietly explain the parts of the service and the actions of the pastor, ushers, singers, etc. Sing the songs and participate in the prayers and responses. Children learn how to worship by watching you. If you have to leave the service with your child, please feel free to do so, but please come back. As Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And then there's a point at the bottom. To the members of our church, children are a gift, not a distraction. The sound of children in the church is the sound of Jesus keeping his promises. It's the sound of his church that lives on and never dies. Please welcome children and give a smile of encouragement to their parents. And I love the point at the bottom. Please feel free to let your child use this card to write on or draw. It's brilliant. Find it, and don't be surprised if you see that kind of card coming around Highfields. You know, at the moment, it's a sadness to me that we've got to kind of drop the kids off before the services, because just in terms of the capacity that we've got, but before long, hopefully we'll be able to have the kids in as part of our service, but enjoy having them and the noise and the mess that is sometimes there. And I'm sorry, again, if you've got a different impression and you've struggled with, you know, the mess that you feel like you bring or you are aware of, I'm sorry. Gospel welcoming means embracing the messiness of life rather than frowning on it. And lastly, gospel welcoming draws people together to Jesus. It draws people together to Jesus. Ultimately, that's what this is all about. It's not about making Highfields look good and impressive. It's not even about making you look good and impressive or me look good and impressive. It's about inviting people to taste and see that the Lord is good and see how glorious he is. Because that's how our passage concludes. So, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Gospel welcoming brings glory to God. This is not a trivial matter, in other words. This is not maybe if you're really into church, you're really into that kind of thing, go for it, otherwise, chill out. No. Failing to do gospel welcoming is bad for the church. It's bad for the body life. It's bad for individuals. Ultimately, fundamentally, it's bad for God, for God's glory is at stake when we don't get this right. Another amazing passage, we don't have time to really look at it, but in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul explains that the reason God has done everything in the whole world is to show to the powers and authorities, the heavenly realms, that Jesus is the King of the whole world, and the way he shows that is through the church. He wants people to look at the church and see, wow, Jesus is great. Look at the church. God is great. And do you know what, friends? This is tragic that many people have looked at the church and thought, rather not, thank you. God can't be that great. seen leadership fail. God can't be that great. God is glorious. God is beautiful. He's reached out to the Forkies and the failures and the messes, and he's pulled us all together into his family. And he is so great and so glorious that, when we don't get gospel welcoming right, we get our witness to the gospel wrong. We get our witness to God wrong. We can preach the gospel with our word. Great, tick. And we can totally preach another gospel with our lives and our relationships within the body. And that's a massive failure on our part. And again, help us, help me, help one another to do this. It's not one person who's going to fix this. We've all got to, I'm in. Are you in? This is what it means to be a gospel church. I referred to the podcast with Sam Albury and Ray Altland. And Ray is a pastor of a church in the States. And he's been thinking a lot about this for a while and has developed a call to worship that he uses in his church. And our service is kind of nearing its conclusion. And shortly we're going to be sharing in bread and wine, which is a really wonderful way of kind of enacting the oneness that we have in Christ. And so shortly we will do that. But let me read out what Ray Altland uses in his church as a call to worship, a call to welcome people to share in church life with them in his church. And again, we may use this down the line. Let me say these words, after which I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing, and then we'll share in the Lord's Supper together. To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God even cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a saviour, to all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and to whoever will come, this church opens wide her doors and offers a welcome. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us worship God. Let's have a moment of quietness and then I'll pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for your reach. We praise you for your welcome. We praise you for your love that you welcome the least. And we realize with that amazing reach that has reached us, there comes a call, a challenge to welcome others. Lord, forgive us for the ways we've so often received your grace and yet refused to give it. Please make us a people, a church, a community that seeks to show the love you have given us to those around. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.